On today's podcast, we talk about the missing link in your peak week protocol. All right, everyone, we are back. We're just going to start every episode with saying we are back. But we wanted to talk about peak week this time. I know a lot of people focus on sodium, carbs, the whole process that takes place during peak week. And we kind of wanted to do a different spin on it and talk about the mental piece, the mental part of what peak week should look like. So,
I think it's definitely the most important aspect, and it's unfortunately really overlooked because, man, I just feel like it's hard to coach sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think the mentality is, if you're doing this, it's because you have this mentality, right? But that's not always the case.
I do think focusing on how you're approaching like your improvement season, how you're approaching show day, how you're looking at peak week does really affect a lot of what happens with the body. So as much as we can focus on the science and the protocol and what needs to happen, there is a very specific way that our mindset around those things helps those things be implemented or not. So I think this was actually TC's idea. I think this was a really good idea for our podcast topic. Mentality is something that I still struggle with a lot. It's very easy to be on the outside and being encouraging and see like an athlete progressing and be able to foresee a great outcome or what needs to be fixed. So from a coaching perspective, I think it's a little bit easier. But as an athlete, I still sometimes get in my head about things and, getting to know you, spending more time with you. I think that you do have a strength in like talking about mentality and how you see things and your perception. And that's helped me as an athlete as well. And then extend it in some of my coaching. So I'm excited to kind of like dive into this topic.
Yeah. Yeah. I was very blessed to have a dad growing up who, right out the gate, told me that A, there's going to be people who hate you just for being good at something, and B, you have to let all that hate roll off your shoulders. There, it will be there in your life no matter what you do. If you are good at something and if you put your name on it, you're going to be good at something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're good at something, there will be people out there who are upset with their lot in life enough to try to take you down. So you just have to be cognizant of that. But I think that parlays very well into an athletic mindset of not letting the little things distract you and get you down. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the really important thing here. So, I guess before we get into what you should and shouldn't be doing, let's talk about like what is peak week and what should the expectation be? From an athlete's perspective and a coach's perspective, because you've gone through this multiple times in both aspects. Mm-hmm. So, in your opinion, what is the goal of peak week?
Right. So the goal of peak week is to formulate a plan of action to have your physique look the most optimal. So like whatever your category criteria is that moment that you're stepping on stage. So there's a lot of like checking and evaluating and tweaking. But it's to like have that exact look at that exact time, not to do like a grand overhaul. I have been in peak weeks where I assumed that like really big changes were going to happen. Like I was all of a sudden gonna look very different. So I think that that's an important aspect is just fine tuning, not a big, like dramatic transformation.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you've built your car already and now it's painted. Now you're putting that polishing touch on it, right? It's the presentation now that you're working on and you use two words, evaluate, checking and evaluating. And both of those, you could also, they're synonymous with observing, Right. And I think that when we are able to more efficiently take that observational mindset when we're coming in closer to a show, because the work's done, right? I mean, how much muscle you're going to build in 2 weeks in an extreme deficit doing 2 hours of cardio, right? Not much. And that's if you're an assisted male athlete, okay? Your goal is to just try to hold on to all your muscle mass as a female athlete, which really puts the light on the stress mitigation aspect of your tapering season and your peak week.
So you're not building muscle, you're not losing fat.
Yeah, you've done it because you're ready, right? Ideally, you have gotten as lean as you need to 2 weeks before your event, mm-hmm. so you can settle and then peak.
Yeah. Now we're just, we're putting the final touches on. So another like important thing about peak week is to look at what other things it's providing for your physique. So our protocol is also supposed to be helpful in reducing inflammation because we taper cardio, we bring up food. Our body is like now starting to rest after it's pushed. We're looking for dropping subcutaneous fluid. So a lot of times you will see, and this happened recently, with a client of mine, as we, you know, we are pushing, we brought down, cardio, we increased food. We're now starting to relax. We're starting to shift gears into like, okay, now I'm going to be on stage and I'm reaching this like final.
Yeah, the work is done.
Yeah, this right. this final line yeah, here.
The hard work is done.
And prior to that, like weight was a little bit slow to come off, and now it's starting to really fall off. Mm-hmm. And she's looking tighter and tighter. Fluid is coming off of her physique. The more cortisol drops and the more relaxed we are, we see like a big, we can see a big fluid shift. And yes. I think it's person dependent, but it really plays a huge role. So, yeah, we're really looking to. Almost like recover the body in some form or fashion so that it looks fresh and healthy on stage. We're not driving it into the ground, trying to get every last little morsel of body fat off and then jumping on stage.
Yeah.
We want to look healthy up
because,
there.
Yeah, because you judges see that, right? Like when you're over dieted or overworked or just over fatigued, when you're stepping on the stage, they see that, right? Yes. One of the things that we talk about is stage presence. Mm-hmm. And man, I'll never forget my last USAPL meet where I did that. I cut 5 pounds in the sauna the morning of the meet, or 4 pounds, and it took me 5 hours to do. And standing in line waiting to check in, and I felt like someone, I just got out of a burlesque sack that I had been tied in all night, and someone was beating the crap out of me like a friggin' pinata. It was like just the worst that I had ever felt, mm-hmm. right? And that presence will come across when you're walking across that stage. Like people will see that. They will see that you feel like shit. And man, sometimes it's tough to overcome that, right? Like unless you have an undeniable physique and it just doesn't freaking matter and you're just that much better than other people. But then if that's the case, why are you coming in that depleted, right?
Yeah.
So I think that the goal with like your tapering season, your peak week is just like you said, it's that stress mitigation factor. And we hammer on this all the time because it is so important when it comes to hypertrophy. It's so important when it comes to strength adaptation. It's so important when it comes to aesthetic appearance and just the minute details, right? You know, I did 2 bodybuilding shows and 2 years ago. And the first one, I feel like I looked much tighter.
Mm-hmm.
But the second one, I had 2 or 3 more months of dieting, but I was so stressed out that second one.
Yes.
And I did it to myself, right? And that in a nutshell is what we are here to talk about today.
Yeah. And I think that can be hard too, because when you're dieting for a period of time, you're pretty run down.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing what to expect from peak week, I think is important.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking at it as like, all I have to do is like follow this plan. I just have to follow this plan. Yeah. I don't have to overthink things. Like it's already done. It is what it is. I just need to follow this plan because I trust my coach to bring me in to look my best.
Yeah.
And I will say this, peak weeks are like people stress that it has to be perfect. That's another thing that's really hard is like there will be some travel faux pas. There might be some tanning issues. There might be like the grocery store doesn't have the food you need. Just like expect that it's not going to be perfect and be ready to just kind of like shift gears if something happens or ask for help. Like if you're just so tired and you're like, man, I'm like capped out here. hey, coach, they don't have like chicken breast at the grocery store. What should I eat? Like, just lean on people a little bit more to help keep stress down and you know, advocate for that.
Yeah.
It's peak week. I'm a little bit anxious. The show's coming up. Could you help me, like, help prep some food or grab the kids from whatever so that I can, you know, do some laundry? Like, just, yeah.
Yeah, you need to verbalize the assistance that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you have good partners or a good team, sometimes they'll be able to see it before you do. Like, sometimes I'll tell you, like, no, you have to go do this. You have to stop doing this. You have to do it. But it's because I see, like, you're starting to spin your wheels. You do the same thing for me.
Yeah.
I'm
appreciative of it.
And yeah, so actually one of the things I wanted to kind of go back on is the reason for peak week, or the goal, is to get you to look a certain way on stage, which is, I guess, like, macrospectively, that is what the goal is. But I would say that your perspective on peak week should be to be observing what works best and what does what to your body and to your physique when it is in that lean state, right? Because you'll be able to see all these little details and changes just by changing one of the foods that you eat for breakfast or dinner, right? You'll see, you'll feel differently because your body is right on that razor's edge of performance and metabolism, and you're just going to feel these differences, especially the more that you see, the more that you're looking for them, right? And when you're looking for those changes and you're changing again to that observational mentality instead of that all or nothing, it has to be perfect. Like, that is just so powerful in being able to alleviate some of that stress that these athletes feel coming to these shows. Because look, unless you're getting on the Olympia stage and you're planning on taking first or battling for first place, like, is this your last show? You know what I mean? Like, this is a stepping stone to learn what works well so that in your next show we can do it even better.
So I think that does help in being observant, where someone might say, like, I'll suggest, like, hey, let's try this food. Let's incorporate this food this week. And they're like, ah, that bloats me. Great. Now we don't have to worry about you being like, I need to follow the plan. She told me to eat this.
I feel like crap, but she told me to eat it.
But I trust my coach and she told me to eat this. Like, so that's in that aspect, mm-hmm. it is collaborative. I think some people do over focus on observing their physique constantly.
Yes. Yeah, that's
and then
point.
They start like checking them. They're weighing themselves like 6 times a day. They're checking their abs like every time they go to the bathroom. They're starting to hyper focus on like, oh no, my abdomen looks a little bit bloated. Well, you are supposed to eat more food today.
Yeah.
So by the end of the day, you are going to look a little fuller. It's mm-hmm. okay. Remember, it's like that timing specific on show day.
Yeah.
So yes, I agree. Like, not trying to be perfect is definitely going to be helpful. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to go the way it's going to go. You just do your best.
Yeah.
And then communicating with your coach and
yeah.
In a collaborative effort.
Yeah. And there can't be any like, okay. So like you said, you're checking the scale a million times a day, right? When we attribute a positive or negative mental or emotional response to these things, whether the scale is up or down, man, that's giving something else in your life a lot of control over your mentality that is already very volatile in this like stage of your prep. So if you are going to be practicing that, make sure it's objective, right? Make sure that these data points that you are collecting, it's objectively, and you are not thinking that it is bad that your weight is up by 2 pounds one evening versus from the morning, which that's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Right. But now once you're starting to look at these things objectively and in more of an observational capacity, then you start to see these patterns and you start to get a little like less worried or less freaked out. Like, I can fix it. It's not a problem. It's not even something that I was about to say, I can fix it. It's not even something that needs to be fixed. It's just this happened. Right. And now tomorrow I wake up and I know that that happened when I ate this food. So I'm not going to eat that food today. Or I know that happened and I like that. So I'm going to continue to include this in my diet.
So, sorry. Were you done?
That's it.
Okay. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just wanting to say that I think the focus on the scale does get a little bit screwy with people on peak week. There are some people that it just mentally does not make them feel comfortable. And there'll be days where they're like, I didn't weigh in because I couldn't handle it. And like, it's a, if you've been battling the scale and you just don't have a great relationship with it, I can see where, like, we don't want to mess with your mentality on peak week. Mm-hmm. We have to pick and choose what is going to be the most helpful.
Yes.
So yes, the data on the scale helps me, but if it's at the sacrifice of you panicking, then I don't want it. You know what I mean? Like, we have to really be conscientious of how we're approaching it. And the scale, I think, can bother people when they're starting to eat. So that's another thing I notice is women will be like, I have to eat. Like, now I have to eat all this food, and it's making me feel like I'm undoing all my hard work. And I understand that. Well, I don't know that I ever felt bad for eating food, but I do know for some women that is hard. But it's also important to remember that, like, the judges aren't looking at what you weigh on stage. Mm-hmm. They're not like, oh, you're like 115 and
you're not at your lowest prep weight. You're out of here.
Yeah. Like, they're looking at a visual. So above anything, the pictures are so important.
Yeah. Well, you remember my prep, my lowest point in my prep, I was 180. Mm-hmm. My stage weight was 190. I weighed in at 193. I checked in at 193. Okay, so you're
a lot of weight.
Yeah. Okay. Now look, I have a lot of muscle. There's a lot of glycogen in there.
You got real fat.
Depleted versus apparently.
I'm just kidding. He wasn't fat. He wasn't. He's carb loaded. I was his coach.
Yeah. So, but that's the thing, is these things can change and they can fluctuate. And again, when we stop attributing that positive or negative emotional response to that, and we maintain that emotional response for I did the work. Right. Yeah. I showed up every single day through this prep. I did what I was supposed to do. I worked my ass off. No one in that gym was working harder than me. And that is where your self-worth should come from. The amount of effort that you are putting into achieving this endeavor is where your self-worth and your positive response, your positive feedback should come from. If you're waiting on your scale to change, then you're going to start getting stressed out, which is, again, that's the point of this podcast, is like the mentality and how these things can negatively affect your prep, right? And as soon as you start getting stressed out about the scale not moving, or you feel a little bloated or this, that, and the other, your body is now like in that cortisol response, and it's just not a good environment in a lot of different ways, right? Catabolic, it's just, we're going to hold water. We're going to hold more inflammation. Our body's going to be trying to deal with that stress instead of trying to reduce inflammation and trying to heal your body and your muscles.
Yes.
It's, yeah, there's just so, like, just this slew of things once we initiate that stressful mentality sequence in our prep. So that is, like, one of the most important things that we have to do is really make sure that we are mitigating that mental stress, because, like, physical, there will always be a certain amount of physical stress in a prep, always. And it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot of physical stress. So what we need to do is make sure that our stress bucket is empty enough from other things in our life, from our mental stressors, in order to be able to accommodate that recovery and the most aesthetic looking physique on stage.
And to your point, when you're talking about your weight shifting, so that happened to me my first show in 2023. I was like 118, like most of my prep, most peak week, like my weight was like 118. And I woke up on show day and I had dropped 4 pounds. So I was 114. And I remember, like, wow, that's really intense. And it was same scale. I brought the same scale. Like, everything was the same.
Yeah.
So I had texted my coach and I said, hey, Coach Paul's my coach. I said, is it normal to drop 4 pounds on show day? And he was like, come see me. So at that point, like, it was more work to try and
try to eat while you're doing your hair appointment, your makeup. Try to eat.
He was like, eat. And he was just like throwing out numbers. Eat this many carbs, this much fat, drink water. Like, you are depleted. So, and I think part of that was that I had taken a long time. It was 3 years since I had gotten back on stage. I had a really bad last experience getting on stage. I was finally here. It was going well. I was excited. I think really stressed, just kind of like fell off.
Yeah.
and I woke up pretty depleted and lean. And also I think excitement sometimes kind of like helps you, it makes yeah. your body move through food yeah. a little bit faster. So again, like the scale, being low on the scale is not always the best thing. So yeah. don't, it's not always I'm winning because I'm lower. Mm-hmm. So I think making that disconnection from that physical metric sometimes can be helpful, or like you're saying, very objective.
Yeah. Yeah. And on the flip side of that, when athletes start to see that scale go up, sometimes they think that they need to spend an extra day in depletion or do yeah. extra cardio and one of the points we wanted to make is more is not better. Mm-hmm. Better is better, mm-hmm. right? So we want to make sure that all of our movements are smooth and efficient. We want to make sure that all of our cardio is done hard, like, and intentionally, right? We want to make sure that all of our posing is done to the best of our ability and not skimping on it because it's the end of your workout and you know, you just want to go through the motions. No, we're not going through the motions in anything that we are doing during your tapering and your peak week. There are no motions getting gone through except for your daily routine, right? Because there are going to be days where you wake up and you just don't feel like doing shit. It's going to happen, I promise you. If you've prepped, you've had those days. And your routine saves you. You get up and you know that this is what you're supposed to do, and you just put one foot in front of the other.
So what I think is, if you're feeling anxious and you feel like I have to do more, like I have to be, first of all, we oftentimes don't necessarily see our physiques clearly, and that's why it's good to have a coach that does. Because we're always going to see our faults. We're always going to see, you know, we're going to maybe hyper-focus on the things that we wish weren't there or we should fix. And at that point, that's not helpful. So a lot of times I will see people that are like, okay, I need to do more. Like I need to do more cardio, or they start doing more steps, or they start integrating extra things that are not helpful in bringing down inflammation. They're just pushing themselves more because they feel the angst of this finish line coming up. So I would say if you want to do something more, I would focus on doing posing. Like I would not do more cardio, would not try and do more steps unless you communicate with your coach and they approve that. I would take some more time posing.
Yeah.
Do practice like a mock show. I think those reps are going to be more beneficial in helping you feel mentally prepared than trying to force your body to change. And it may be contraindicative to what needs to happen on your peak week protocol.
Yeah.
So post, like set up your camera, you could go on YouTube and listen to a show where like maybe a judge is handing out commands, and go out and listen to it and practice and record yourself. Mm-hmm. So move around on stage, do your routine, go stand there, just stand there and hold your pose. I would put more reps in that aspect.
So. Yeah, I think that's a really good suggestion. Especially like for the female competitors, the closer you get to your show day, the more we want specificity in doing the exact same thing that you have to do on stage so that you don't get messed up. But I might suggest like when we're, I don't know, a couple months out, maybe pose on the opposite side just to kind of see what mm-hmm. it feels like. Because it can help to increase just certain proprioceptive feedback that will allow you to better position yourself on stage.
I would agree. Yes.
Yeah. Our body gets like caught up in certain movement patterns and then it just like kind of fills in the blanks and yeah. we lose that intentionality. Right. And that's why yeah. your workouts with a trainer or a physical therapist are always more difficult than the ones when you're by yourself.
Yeah.
But that's also why one of our training mottos is make it as hard as possible. And man, you've seen me doing posing sessions. I sweat my ass off.
Yes, he does.
Because that's just my mentality. When I do anything, I am trying literally as hard as I possibly can.
Yeah.
And yes, it's tiring. But I'll tell you what, it gets good results. So as long as you're like trying to make everything as difficult as possible and not just like doing weird stuff, right? Like I'm saying make your lat pull downs really difficult because you're working so hard at maintaining your abdominal engagement, right? That like, that's the kind of stuff that we're talking about. I think that's a really good suggestion.
And I think when it comes to training too, I will have people that just like balls to the walls. They're like destroying their body on peak week because they have some more food, they have the excitement, and they just like cannot contain themselves. And I'll be honest, the two people sitting at this table right now are guilty of that. I have like, well, talk about what she, I mean, he deadlifts like a stupid amount of weight.
Yeah, if I had been paying attention, I would have put 20 more pounds on there.
I know. And his posing coach, who was, is an Olympian, Coach Barbs, made sure to tell him how insane he was on peak week deadlifting like a stupid amount of weight. But I also have like felt really good and really excited. And I'm like, oh, I need to like do something with this energy. And I go to the gym and I'm like training my glutes and I'm like having a blast. And then I'm like a little bit sore. And in some aspects, I think you can be a little bit, for certain categories, you can be a little bit sore too, because a little bit of inflammation in certain areas can actually benefit you. But I also have people gotten like blurred lines and soft legs and hold water because they went and trained like crazy. And now we've lost detail because now your body is like trying to recuperate from this intense workout, trying new machines, doing new movements, adding, hitting PRs. Like
that is not peak week material.
Don't do that. I think in the beginning of your week, I do encourage people to keep up like relative intensity. I don't try and hit new PRs, but just keep up what you've been doing. As food's increasing, just keep your training intensity similar. And then towards the end of the week, I generally tell them, let's bring this down. And and some people, we have to bring down the intensity much earlier in the week because they just, their body needs it. But yeah, they, more training before your show does not build your muscles.
Yeah.
And does not help you, not necessarily always help you look better.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Which I think there's an important differentiation between feeling really good and wanting to push a little more. Because then the next day, if you're feeling a little beat up, you can practice some auto-regulation and pull back just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that's not during peak week that we're talking about, right? Like that's kind of just like during your training program. During peak week, like you said, it's about stress mitigation and bringing it down. And I think that when we see people overexerting themselves towards the end of that week, it's that stress coming out, right?
Yeah,
and that's another reason why those lines start to get blurred.
Yeah.
It's because they think that, man, I just really need to push because I'm at the end of the road. No. What the work that you've done, that's it. Now it's a different stage. It's a different kind of work, right? Like you don't get into bed expecting to do workouts, right? You don't go to the gym expecting to sleep. You go to these certain stages throughout your prep and throughout your life expecting to do certain things. And it's the same thing with peak week. We have to have a very specific expectation with what peak week is and what it's supposed to do for you.
Yes.
And then on Friday, when you're relaxing and maybe doing some posing after each one of your carb loading meals, like you feel really good because you know the work is done. And now this posing session is moving these carbs that I just ate to the muscles that I'm going to have to showcase tomorrow. And I'm here, right? Mm-hmm. But that's the mentality that you have to have, like going into peak week, going into the beginning of peak week is I'm here. Right, I'm here. I made it. I'm done. The work that needed to be done is done at this point, and now it's a different kind of work, right? And what is like, I guess scientifically happening during peak week in the beginning, right? You have your couple depletion days. And they're generally hard training days. We're really emptying out all of your glycogen stores in your muscles so that we can try to attain some super compensation towards the end of the week. But in order to do that, you have to bring training volume down, right? Otherwise, you're just still using all those carbohydrates that you're eating, and it's not going to be able to go into your muscles to make them look nice and full and hard when it's time to step on stage.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, I think that's the other thing, is just like understanding what we are trying, like what processes are trying to be elicited by the protocol, I think can give people a lot more buy-in and a little bit more mental patience in that part of the process.
Yeah, I would agree too. And speaking on mentality, there's that one aspect of things where people try to like do more. And then there's also self-sabotage that happens with people in peak week. They're like, all of a sudden I'm here and I am either not ready, or there's self-doubt, or there's some type of deep-rooted thing where all of a sudden they don't they don't follow the peak week protocol because they don't feel that they deserve it, or some other, like, you know, deep rooted thing that they're battling. And that can make for a very complicated peak week. And just, again, like, the kind of the setup is intentional for a specific reason. So, like you were saying, like, I think I choose to look at peak week as a reward. Like, whatever's going to happen on stage is going to happen. It's out of my control at this point. But peak week, I have worked really hard for this peak week. I worked for these couple days of food. I've worked really hard for getting my hair done and getting my makeup done and people cheering for me. Like, however you have to think of it, like, I earned this peak week, and it's like, it's a positive reward for me moving forward.
Yeah. I love that.
Cause you know, we do work hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And there has to be light at the end of the tunnel, right? If it's all just doom and gloom, then your body's not going to want to do it. Right. So yeah, I think another point that I think has to be said is that just a lot of people pick up bodybuilding or do it. It's a bucket list item, but, whether subconsciously or consciously they realize this or not, it's about showcasing willpower, right? And discipline, and mental discipline. And that gets harder and harder the heavier your deficit gets.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I would agree.
So, and I think that's why so many people either come in soft or don't make it to the show, is because they start out strong, but then, man, like, when they're in the shit, they forget their why. They forget why they're doing this, right? And I think that we've talked about this in the past, about having your why, but being able to have that firmly cemented in the forefront of your brain when you're feeling like crap is, I think, very powerful in helping for you to push through that. You've also often said to me, like, you know, sometimes I just feel like, why am I doing it? Who picked this sport? Why am I doing this?
I'll be very honest. I've often thought, who chose to do this prep, the prep that I'm in?
Yeah. So yeah, it's just important to just remind yourself, you know, I chose this.
Yes.
And this is why I am proving to myself that I am stronger than this, and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, peak week is just it's the cherry on top, right? So developing that mentality where this is a time to be enjoyed. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very useful tool for people to be able to move through that peak week stress-free, because that's the goal, is to have that Chris Bumstead, like, everything's fine.
Zen.
Yeah. You know, like, you know, but that's why, like, if you look at all these top athletes,
yes,
they might be super energetic, like Ashley Kay and Whitney Jones, but they fucking love what they do, or they're just super chill and nothing bothers them, like Sebum and Laura Lee. Like, and these are the people that are at the top.
Those are great examples. Yes.
So yeah, it's a lot of times. I don't want to say that, because I don't know these people personally, but in my personal experience, I think that intellect and intelligence can get in the way of athletic progress, because athletic progress requires you to just almost unthinkingly, right? We want to be intentional with stuff, but almost unthinkingly, just go through the motions every single day. Just keep showing up and, like, not second guess yourself. Am I making progress? Am I getting bigger? Am I getting stronger? No, yes. Just like, you know that what you're doing is working. Because, well, this is it. That's what they say. If I want to do that, then I have to do this. And then these people, like, they just go through it. Like, yeah. So don't overthink things. Stay calm, stay relaxed, and, you know, we're going to have a good time.
Well, there's that example of landing the plane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like, you've made this journey, and now it's like, now you got to land this plane. So it's a little bit, like, temperamental, so you need to be very intentional about what you're doing. You can't be, like, all over the place making quick turns.
Yeah,
you have to like glide in. But you're right, it's about, like, staying calm and staying collected, just like rolling with it, and just enjoying the day. I think,
yeah,
we're enjoying the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which we talked on that on the last podcast, I went before, but that you have to enjoy the process. But man, it's so integral. You have to. You just have to love it. So
yeah. And there can be a lot. There's a lot to be gained by getting on stage, whether you think you are at the top of your game or not.
Yes.
Because I will guarantee you will always think that you could be better. You're never I find it rare that someone's like, man, I have made it. I have a Olympia level physique and I'm going to win this whole show. Like, no, you're always going to be like, man, I need to do better at posing, or this could have run smoother, or, you know, my menstrual cycle's not lined up perfectly with my show. Like, there's a lot of things that could always be a little bit better. So getting on stage and going through Peak Week is practice. It's mm-hmm. good practice in exercising the mentality that you're going to carry on stage. That's your time to get your mind really locked in. And then finishing what you started to the best of your ability. So, I think also, let's see, we've talked a lot about like stress mitigation, training, how we need to kind of like, reel in our mentality. I have been giving more instructions to people about visualizing themselves on stage. This past weekend I had 3 girls compete, and I would tell them, like, when this category is on stage, you're doing this. When they call you for this, you're doing this. And I would be like very specific. And then as they were in line, I would tell them, I want you to visualize your posing routine. Like, put your brain in that position where you are watching yourself on stage doing that routine. I sometimes would watch other people's routine while I was standing in line. And sometimes it would throw me off because I'm watching someone else pose. And if you're watching someone in front of you pose poorly, that's going to be the last thing that you saw in your brain when you are trying to yeah, now go yeah. execute and show off your physique.
Yeah.
So I will kind of watch the person right in front of me because I want to make sure I step on stage on time. But I may just like look at their feet, or I may look at the judges. But prior to that point, I'm thinking about what my routine looks like. And I'm thinking about, okay, now I can see like from where I'm standing what the judges, mm-hmm. what the judges are where they're seated, what it looks like. I have this perspective. Now I need to just put myself in that place on stage. I've done this routine a million times and I'm watching myself do it.
Yeah.
There were times during Peak Week where I was so tired just because it was a real grind, where I felt like I couldn't really practice posing very much because my legs were really tired, but I would lay in bed and I would practice in my brain, walking out on stage, doing my routine, signing off, staying there in comparisons, getting moved to the middle. Like, I would visualize those things because I needed to put reps mm-hmm. In play, but my physical body was feeling pretty run down.
Yeah, yeah. Which they've done studies on muscle activation with just visualization and no movement. Like,
yes.
The Air Force uses it. A lot of high level, high detail professions use visualization to help. And that's what we coach our powerlifters too, right? Like, mm-hmm. especially like when we are coming up to Peak Week, when we're starting to taper, when we're starting to include those SBD days in our workout, when you're going through the SBD, we want to be timing our workouts to make sure that we're within that 30-minute time frame, which is usually squats and deadlifts that, you know, take longer than that, if anything. Okay. But we want to time our workouts, and and every single top single, we are visualizing ourselves on a competition platform. And if you've never competed in the past, that's fine. For my very first event, I went to the Warhouse Gym. And before that, I had been there for a leg day seminar with Julian Smith and DLB. And so I was able to put myself in that gym. I didn't know what the competition setup was going to be, but I put myself there, and then I put a crowd of people in front of me, and DLB and Julian Smith were sitting there watching me do my squat.
Yeah.
So, like, just put yourself in that situation. And then I would even say, when you're up on that stage, still don't look at the other person. We want to maintain that focus where we need it, which is internally. We need to maintain the focus on ourselves. And you can be looking, actually, you should be smiling at the judges at that point, right? Because like, if you're in, if you can see the judges, they can see you. And we want to make sure that every time they look at you, they're getting a good eyeful.
Yeah.
You can be looking at them. You can be smiling. You can be preparing yourself. You can be trying to judge your steps to the center stage. Ideally there was a chance to practice that beforehand, the night before or something, but yeah, maintain that focus. maintain that. The more focus you can put on yourself and your routine and or your lifts or whatever it is, the better you're going to perform, the less second guessing you're going to be. And it's more practice. Every second that you spend practicing that hyper vigilant focus is just one more rep into your focus muscle, right? That's going to allow you to not lose focus on stage. Okay. When you're going through that routine or your lifts or something.
So here's a practical tip for like getting, doing posing on stage that has helped me. Sometimes I will research whatever venue it's in and I'll try and pull up pictures of the venue and yeah. I'll put it, I've in the past put it on the background of my phone screen.
Yeah.
So every time I'm looking at my phone, I'm seeing mm-hmm. the venue. And so it's becoming more familiar because I'm looking at it more regularly. If I know who my head judge is, I picture looking at that head judge when I'm practicing. Mm-hmm. So I'll be in like a posing studio or something like that. And I'm posing in front of Tyler or Bill Sibilia. I'm looking like right in their face mm-hmm. so that I'm not like, oh my gosh, it's them when I finally go on stage, like making it more familiar. Yeah. And I've seen this person before, I think helps with the nerves on stage too. And also can kind of help lock in your mentality because there's less like responding to like a stimulus and there's more of like, okay, like here we are again. I've done this a million times. So that might be something to.
No, I think that's really important. And I think just becoming the more aspects of your thing that you can become familiar with, the less room for error there is.
I've also watched shows online.
Yeah.
Like if I knew I was doing a clash, I would Google like on YouTube, like clash series.
Yeah. Just make sure you don't get in your head again, right?
I have clash series on YouTube, by the way. But yes, like I think it's also important because you're right. Sometimes people look around too much. They're watching too many things or looking at pros and then they start getting nervous and they start like our mentality starts to degrade. So, it's what you can handle, right?
Yeah.
You have to know what you can handle and maybe every peak week you can handle a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, and in the past we've discussed investment versus expectation, right? Warren Buffett spends the first 6 hours of every day reading. Every day.
6 hours. Does this man sleep?
So that means 42 hours a week, this man is researching his business decisions. And
why aren't you doing that?
I'm just kidding.
Well, I usually spend like 3 hours a day in the gym. And if I could spend more without feeling guilty about getting home later, I would. And you know, I have in the past, my last prep, I would go to the gym for 3 hours, come home, eat breakfast with you, and then we'd go back to the gym. So, you know, like everyone has their thing that they spend an obscene amount of time on.
Yeah.
Warren Buffett's thing is business, right? And now the reason I brought that up is to say that, you know, he's like the fourth richest man in the world or whatever. He invests 42 hours per week in his thing. That's it. Just 42 hours per week. Now, if
that's it.
As a competitive bodybuilding athlete, if I were to ask you to commit to 12 hours per week, like that sounds reasonable, right? That's
to bodybuilding?
Yeah. That's 5 2-hour workouts and 2 1-hour recovery sessions. That's it. That's all you have to commit to it as far as your training goes.
Yeah.
But a lot of lives are busier than that and they can't even count for that because there are other things like the meal prep and sleep. So precious sleep.
which are important.
Yeah. So, but the reason I say that is because like, you know, everyone's investment level is going to be different. And we just comparing yourself to someone else who may have a trust fund and they go to the gym all day, every day. And then they go to a massage and they get their smoothies and they do their infrared and they blah, 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 blah. Like just make sure that you are comparing yourself to your own journey and to the work that you have put in. And is the result that I got worth the work that I put in for this prep? And that's the only
thing
you should be paying attention to, in my opinion. That's my opinion. But
yeah, no, that's a very good point. Because I think we can see a glorified look at prep and peak week and show day, and it's like it can be defeating when you're watching other people look like it's a piece of cake, and you're there like trying to scrape yourself off the sidewalk because it's been a really hard day.
Well, especially sucks because there are a lot of coaches out there using that as like advertising things. Did your coach mess your peak up? Like,
No coach is going to talk about how hard it is, I think.
Exactly.
They want everyone to funnel in because it's easy and everyone wants it to be easy. I mean, if I had a choice,
everyone would pick easy. Yeah. But that's why I'm not a good salesman, because I'll tell you, like, it's, I've been doing easy. It for 20 years. So you just got to fucking work harder.
You'd be like, easy? I don't want that. Give me the hard one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that that's important. So looking at, let's see, you talked about expectation and reality. It is important to know on peak week. So sometimes people do their course correcting because they think that they look bad. You will not look your best at the beginning of peak week, not the middle of peak week, not even Friday. You should look your best on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So don't panic. You should look flat. So that's the other thing that's like so hard, is you like, you're about to get on stage and you feel like you have no muscle because you're depleted. And this is also for some, you know, with assistance, you're going to look a little bit different. You may have a little bit more fullness. So that's something also to take note when you're kind of like perusing and looking at other people. But you should look flat. You should look depleted starting your peak week. You should slowly see improvements, but it shouldn't be like, whoa, all of a sudden I'm full. It's going to be, and that's if you're doing a peak week. Well, it doesn't matter how you load. You should always look your best on Saturday. Yes. So we'll just say that. Yes. So it's okay if you're not like thrilled about your look first thing. What's important is Saturday.
Yeah.
Or show day, whatever day of the week it is. Yeah. And I think it's also very important to realize that it's okay to feel a little emotionally drained. Mm-hmm. It is very overwhelming. It's like what we do is hard.
Yes.
Not everyone does it. If the general population does not put themselves through that type of situation willingly. And so what you've done is really hard, and sometimes it can be very emotional. And we can either start self-doubt, or we can just feel like overwhelmed. We can start feeling stressed. Like, we can have a lot of emotions kind of rear up. So my encouragement is to not overschedule yourself on peak week. Whatever you normally do, I would try to lessen that if you can, because you want to leave some extra buffer room for needing to like maybe problem solve, some extra buffer room if you're traveling and you have to pack. Like, give yourself the gift of doing less on peak week if you can. I made the mistake of keeping my same exact schedule. There was a time I was working like, I don't know, I think I was working 6 jobs and I was running from one thing to the next thing and I was in peak week. I've gotten into car accidents. I've destroyed my hair extensions. I've
lost your shoes.
I lost my shoes. I was driving down the highway and my shoes flew off my roof because I somehow was driving without my shoes. So you just like give yourself extra time and extra room. Remember, this is your reward week. Yeah. So
because even if you have support, sometimes I've lost that curl bar. I got into an accident before I met. That was for, I was prepping for powerlifting, but I was still I was lean.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on. So give yourself room. Give yourself room. Don't try and do everything. Ask your partner or whoever your supports. I'd ask my mom.
Don't beat yourself up. Oh my gosh, it's so easy to fall into this pit of, oh, I'm such a loser. Why did I do that? I'm such an idiot. But stop it. You cannot do this negative self-talk. You can't do that and then turn around and expect to be a champion, right? You can't have this negative self-talk, calling yourself an idiot, a loser, and then turn around and expect that your body believes it's going to be this winning champion physique.
Yes. That's a good point. Shoes were brand new, by the way. I had just gotten them. I wore them one time.
Yeah.
I even tried to drive back and find them, and I couldn't find them. So you just let it go. Just let it go. Give yourself the grace of, and I would also encourage people to not be on social media extra on peak week. Just don't do that to yourself. Look, whatever, first of all, people are going to take pictures in certain lighting at certain angles and it will be deceiving. So why put yourself through the mental stress of saying like, oh, my competition looks insane.
Yeah.
I'm not ready. And then you've psyched yourself out.
Yeah, like, and then you get there and they're this fast shit that you could easily blow out of the water, but you psyched yourself out and like, no, well, I'm just saying, like, it could happen, right? They could have made an AI generated picture of them being like ripped to shit and like just don't, exactly, don't build this stuff up. Just,
or people post their past shows and you think they're going to your show and they're,
or no matter what, it's still edited. Like, there, I don't know very many competitors, but I don't see any competitor photos that are not edited in some way. So it's
even tough. Stage shots?
Stage shots are edited.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they're clarified. Do you think my stage shots look just like...
I don't think a photographer sits there and edits those pictures, but I do think they use certain like filters.
Yeah, filters. Yeah, that's all I was saying.
But anyways... We both agree that people shouldn't be spending
too much time. It's just not honest.
Yes.
So another thing. So one of the suggestions you made was for an activity substitution, right? And you said pose. If you want to do something extra, don't get more steps. Don't do more cardio. Don't do more resistance training. Do more posing, right? Because you're in bodybuilding, it is always presentation, right? And if you're a powerlifter and you feel like you need to do something else, do more mobility. Because again, it's just like in bodybuilding, it's presentation, in powerlifting, it's positioning. So we want to make sure that that positioning is on point, exactly where you want it to be.
That is a good point about the mobility. That is another active thing that you can do to prime your physique.
Yeah, for bodybuilders too. Yeah, that's good for bodybuilders.
Oh yeah, sorry. But yes, it's to prime your body to be, first of all, it's going to help reduce cortisol if you're doing like deep breathing, you're relaxing, you're connecting with your body. You're not trying to like force anything. You're just trying to like let things, settle and relax. I think that that can really benefit you. Being able to move on stage is really important. Oftentimes we get very anxious. We get a little bit scared and our body gets tense. So, and if we're feeling stressed on peak week, we're probably a little bit more tense already. Mm-hmm. So giving your body kind of that like, you know, because, you know, we just have to be careful about baths and oils and massages, because those things can not be great for prepping your body for your tan. So what other relaxing things can you do? And mobility will help you move more effective. If you can open up your hips more, you're going to have way more options with positioning your lower body to emphasize X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
So yeah, that's a good suggestion too.
Yeah, which I started to talk about, that was a physical substitution. And we were talking about something before that and I lost my train of thought. So.
Oh, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
So all the listeners go back like 2 minutes before we were talking about mobility and see what we were talking about and just know that that's a good mental substitution to make.
We were talking about social media.
Oh yeah, have a good mental substitution for social media. Okay, so normally like when you're prepping, like you're probably gonna be recording, you're gonna post on your story, you're gonna look at other people, blah, blah, blah. Have a book that you wanna read, have a puzzle that you can do, have something else that will detach you and have a nice, and elicit a nice, relaxed, calm mentality. Yeah, I think that's really important. Thank you.
Yeah. Sometimes there's audio too that you can look up, like motivational audio. Yeah. Just put that in your head. Don't put things in your head that are going to like bring you down. Lift yourself up. Be proactive in that. If you're, there are sometimes where I'm like, man, I'm just like having a hard time getting my brain in the right spot today. I'll put on a podcast that's specifically geared toward mental advancement.
Yeah.
Or like spirituality, whatever it is that like kind of helps like lift your spirits. Because it puts your brain in a better place.
Yeah. So. Might even just be some classical music, something that doesn't have any like repetition in the beat. There's no like groove for your mind to fall into, right? Because that's how it is. We get on that hamster wheel of a thought process, and we just can't get out of that groove. So, listening to something like that, like those the sermons or podcasts or whatever you were talking about listening to, it's the same theory, right? It's not just something repetitive that allows you to stay in that groove. So yeah, I like to listen to some like common classical music, maybe some Beethoven or something. Like it just helps if my brain is in a place that I don't want it to be and I'm having trouble getting it out of that place. So for me that helps. But yeah, have those substitutions, have like practice being still, right? We don't always have to be doing something. And I tell people all the time that relaxing muscles is harder than contracting them. And when we have stress, we carry tension. You were just saying that. You don't get to choose where that tension is carried when you're stressed out. When you have mental stress, you don't get to choose it. And I can guarantee you it is not making you look better on stage. And I can also guarantee you it is not making you move better in your compound lifts. So in no way is this tension from stress good. And unless we do something about it, it's just going to stay there and it's going to change how we recruit our body in doing other movements, whether it's resistance training or posing, right? So if we don't get rid of this stress tension first, then everything else is going to be altered in a negative way. So it all comes back to that nice, calm, relaxed mentality that I know that what I'm doing is taking me closer to my goal. And I know that that goal is not today or tomorrow. I know that it's down the road. But I know that I have to do these things every day if I want to get there eventually.
So I think that's another good point, too, of looking at it as a point in your athletic career. We can sometimes put so much pressure on show day. Mm-hmm. We're like, man, this is like everything I've ever worked for. And you know what? Sometimes when you're in a long prep, it can feel like everything you've ever worked for, and it can be you just want to get to the finish line sometimes, or you just want to achieve this goal finally that you've been preparing yourself for a period of time. But remember, things are going to happen outside of your control anyway. However the show's getting judged, however things are going to fall into place that day, our job again is just to do our best with that. And also it can be very helpful to just look at it as this is, especially if you're thinking about I want to turn pro. So your pro card is won at this point in your athletic journey, and you're right here. So you have to continue to show up at this show, learn something from it, show up at this show, learn something from it, to then get you to this point where now you are everything's aligned. Yeah. It's worked in your favor, and now you're winning your pro card. So take the pressure off of yourself, because stressing about it doesn't help you win your pro card. It doesn't ensure that you're winning your pro card. Being obsessed to the point of being a lesser version of yourself is not ensuring that you get your pro card. That's wasted energy. Yeah. So kind of like you were saying with the, there are competitors that I see that I admire in how they just are.
Yeah. And they do their stuff, right? Everything's taken care of.
They do what they need to do.
They eat their macros, they train, right? But
it's not always, because Chris Bumpton has also talked about
there's always a back end.
Having a lot of stress and crying in the bathroom and just feeling that's what I mean. It's everyone's human.
But he also talks about using his support network.
Yes.
When he's talking about that, he's saying, I broke down to Courtney.
Yeah.
He stepped into his pocket. He relied on that support system that he's been cultivating, and she brought him out of it.
Yeah.
Right. And how many times have we done that for each other? I'll tell you, people, I'm sure there are people out there that look at Chris and I and think they're these perfect athletes. We're just normal people, and it's tough.
We're very normal. It's so normal.
Just in that, every single day is another struggle. Right?
Life's hard.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And being able to fit in everything, all of your little goals, and make sure that you're working towards them on a daily basis, it's very difficult. Mm-hmm. And it's not that it's easier for other people to do certain things. It's that they care more about those things, and they put more effort, they invest more effort and more attention into cultivating that strength in themselves and their family. I said that because I want everyone to know that it will always be hard, but that's why we do it, right? Is to have that sense of accomplishment after we climb that hill, climb that mountain. So
yeah, that's great. Good job.
Don't worry, I'll edit it out.
No, I loved it. No, it's not getting edited out. I'm just trying to segue because we were talking about.
We don't segue.
Oh yeah, we're. Quick right turn. So obviously, since you've listened to this podcast, you can kind of gather that kind of taking stuff into your own hands when peak week is probably not the best idea. It makes your coach's job a lot harder, because now they have to kind of figure out, and also hiding things, figure out what happened, what we need to do and course correct. So it's always good to ask your coach, like,
just communicate.
Yeah. And hopefully you have a coach that is like responsive on peak week. I think that's a time where I allow people to just like, you contact me a little bit more, because I want to make sure that you get your questions answered, that you feel comfortable, that we have everything in line for this specific time. Learning things in hindsight isn't helpful. Hey, coach, I did this and this and this. What should I do now? Because I'm looking like this. And that's not the best case scenario. So if you are like, you know,
well, that's like second up from the bottom, though. Because the real worst case scenario is after show day. Oh, by the way, this is what I was doing last week. And you're like, well, no wonder nothing was working right the way I thought it would.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Anyway, continue.
No, that's good. So, yeah, just ask. Like, hey, coach, I'm thinking about doing this instead of this. Like, would this be okay? Or I'm feeling that my body is this way. I was thinking about X, Y, and Z. What do you think? Just like always include him or her, whoever is like guiding your prep, and communicate with them.
Yeah.
Just make the decisions together that week. Because we do teach a lot of like some autonomy in an improvement season or in a like a different phase where we want you to pay attention to what's going on with your body, make some calls on your own, build like some confidence, and then come back to us and report. And then we'll talk about like, yeah, that was good. Maybe this next time. But on peak week, it's a little bit time sensitive, so you should always be making those decisions together.
Yeah, well, you have to be very intentional, and your coach has a plan. That's why you hired them. Your coach has a plan. If you don't believe your coach has a plan, they probably shouldn't be your coach. The first step is to talk to them, right, and to see what their plan is. And if they're like, I don't know, we're gonna see what happens, you know, like. They should at least have, because that is the answer. We're going to see what happens is the actual answer to peak week, but you should have a general idea of how you're going to get there, right? Yes. It's like putting something in Google Maps. There might be a couple accidents along the way, you know, but this is the general route that we're planning on taking, right? Yes. And you always want your coach to have that so that you can fall back on the fact that there is a plan and that what you're doing is putting another brick in that wall, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because that allows you once again to attain that calm, cool, collected mentality of I know that what I am doing is correct and it is bringing me closer to my goal, even if right now it doesn't necessarily feel like it, right? Like you get off a heavy ass set of leg press and you might be wobbling around, like that's the exact opposite of making your legs stronger, right? Like if you have that short-sighted of a perspective, then that's what you would be saying. You would be saying, well, no, like working out and pushing to failure, that makes you weaker. But no, that's not the case, right? And that's the same thing with like bodybuilding. And like you were saying earlier about, you might wake up, you might look flat, you might look watery the night before the show because you spilled over just a little bit. But that's because the morning of, you're going to wake up and look freaking phenomenal. It's going to be perfect. So yeah, it's just understanding that there is a plan and trusting in your coach and building the relationship with your coach that it takes to trust your coach and to be able to have that constant communication with them on peak week is integral. And that's why you're our prep coach, because you are, you do a very good job at listening to athletes and making them feel heard, but not just blowing smoke up their ass and making them feel heard. Like you're actually taking the information they're giving you and digesting it and putting it to use. And sometimes there's nothing to do with it, right? You're just great. Okay. Thank you for letting me know. But you coach people in a way that like encourages them to talk to you. And I think that that's very valuable. And not a lot of athletes have that in their coach, right? Like a lot of these coaches, yeah, they're very overworked and they're spread very thin, and you know, responses are few and far between. So
yeah,
I think it's just important to have a good relationship with your coach, right? And different people need different things, right? Yes. Some people might want a 2-minute response every other week from their coach and that might be enough for them. Other people want every single question that they asked answered, and they want to know that their coach is paying attention to them.
Well, and I think that's like how to coach the client.
Yes. Yeah.
So I do think that's true. Like different people require different coaching styles. But it's also like, if you know, you're if you're coaching people, you're probably not going to have everyone's with the same personality style. So you want to be able to shift. Like some people, I feel like they need to know all, like all the details, have the whole thing planned out. And then that way they don't have to think, they just go down. I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. And they feel in control and it lowers stress.
Yeah.
There's other people where too much information makes them feel overwhelmed. And then they're stressing about all of the things that have to get done instead of providing a little bit of fluidity for them to, like silly things like when to get your tan or what time to eat your meal on Friday, like allowing a little bit of fluidity so that people can be comfortable. And again, it's like, it's knowing the person and knowing what they need to help reduce stress and have them feel most comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Which you just said something that is another good point, and another good goal of peak week should be to prepare you for your competition travel / meet day, right? We want to make sure that you know exactly where you need to be and when. We need to know when athlete check-ins are. We need to know where they are. We need to like make sure that all these ducks in a row so that when you get there, you're not freaking the fuck out and trying to like run around and figure everything out. Okay, this is the time we need to continue to relax. So your travel, your check-in sequence, the night before the event, it needs to all be relaxing. And it needs to be all be tapering to have the most relaxed, which is going to be the best aesthetic, presentation as possible the morning of your event. So, yeah, like we're developing a peak week guide. And my plan is to launch it with this podcast. So if you're listening to this, ideally it's launched with this. And it we want it to be a free download for all of our listeners and subscribers. And the goal with this peak week, guide or manual is to just make you feel a little more empowered so that we can continue to feel in control, which will allow you to have that, more relaxed mentality, when you're coming into your show, whether it's your first one or your 100th, it doesn't matter. Being in control, feeling like you are in control of your situation, can often make you just like make all the difference in the world in how you present yourself.
Yes, I think that's a very good point of just like being prepared. I also think it's important to set expectations for show day. You actually helped me a lot with this because I never thought about doing that until I met you and I started competing and you were like, why don't you think about... I was like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. So that's what I adopted, is going to shows to compete, to get feedback, because I already know that I'm going to need to work on something. Mm-hmm. And that's what I know, and I accept that this is going to be a lifelong journey of working on something.
Yeah.
So I'm going there to see, like, test out what I've done, see where it measures up, get some feedback, and then make decisions from there. So for people getting on stage, oftentimes I'll tell them, we're going there to get feedback, we're going there to see where your physique like lines up. We're not going to put pressure on placement, we're not going to put pressure on pro card. Obviously I'm thinking about what your ultimate goal is as a coach, and I am trying to create the path to lead you exactly there. So but we're not going to obsess about something we have no control over.
This peak week and this local level competition is not what is going to make you an IFBB pro, right? It will give you a little bit of stage experience. It'll make you more comfortable on stage, but the rest of the work that went into getting to that show is what makes you an IFBB pro. That work, and then the work in between that show and your next show. But this peak week it's just fine tuning. It's polishing your car for the car show. That's what it is.
Well, I think even at a national level stage, going in with the same thought.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, I was just making because some people put so much stock in these little shows. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Okay, so you get first. So what? Or you get last. So what? Right? Like it. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, all we need to know is, did I do better than I did last time?
Right.
And if so, what did I do to make it better? And if not, what can I do to make it better?
Yes. Yeah.
And or you probably want to ask both of those things.
Yeah.
Right? Because we still want to continue to get better. There's right. always more. There's right. always more.
Exactly. Yeah. And so like just kind of going in with a clear head of like, no matter the level, this is just another show. I don't know who's going to show up. Because when I was competing as a pro in 2023, I would start, because that's kind of like what I was taught initially when I was a competitor, is like, who's showing up and trying to strategize that. And it created a lot of angst.
Yeah, it's so stressful, man.
Yo, and holy, let me tell cow. You something. When you're a pro, everyone is good. And,
yeah.
And a lot. And you're not. I remember telling Paul, like, because I was like very new to pro stage and thinking like, okay, well, I'm just nervous that I'll go to a show and Ashley K will show up. And he goes, expect Ashley K to show up at every show. Do you know how often she competes? And I was like,
and it's not Ashley, it's Amy.
Good point.
Amy Delgado. Yeah. If it's not Amy Delgado, it's Masa. So it's like, you know what I mean? It's like you said, they're all good.
Yeah. So like chill out. Mm-hmm. And at an amateur level, you're going to have like people come out of the woodwork that are going to show up and they're going to be incredible.
Yeah.
Like, share a stage with them. It's okay.
Yeah. I want to win because I won, right? Not because no one else showed up.
And that's the other thing too, is like, earning your placement.
Mm-hmm. Which we've talked about that before too.
Go against good competition. If good people are showing up, you're at a good show. Yes. So battle it out. Do your best. Know that that is like what you're aspiring to if they beat you. Like,
talk to them. Make a friend. Right? Like, go congratulate them. Let every guy that I've competed with, I'm friends with on Instagram, right? Like, the ones that beat me, the ones that I beat, it doesn't matter, because you stand there and like a bunch of guys standing around in underwear. Like, what else are you going to stand there and talk, you know? So, yeah, they're just guys. They're just people. They're other people, right? And sometimes you're going to have resting bitch face because you're hungry and you're tired, okay? But generally speaking, when you go up and talk to these people, like, they smile. And especially if you're going up to tell them what a great job they did.
Yeah.
You say, man, like, you look fucking phenomenal, man. Like, what are you doing?
Also realize most people are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You're not the only one that might feel a little bit like anxious. Like, I'll guarantee you, like, 99% of people back there are like, what? Oh my gosh, today is the day.
Yeah.
So yeah, just have a good attitude. You'll have more fun. You'll be more relaxed. It will help them. Like, being mean to someone backstage doesn't help you place better on stage.
Yeah. Or trying to like be standoffish to like put yourself above other people. Yeah. You know, like, just, that's too short, man.
I know some people like to just be in their own
space.
Because that is how they mentally prepare. So, like, to each their own. But generally speaking, I find that people have a better time when they just can smile or
just relax,
be friendly with someone.
Which I think, look, at bodybuilding shows, that's much easier for me at bodybuilding shows to relax, whereas powerlifting, I have to perform.
That makes sense.
And powerlifting, I am like that. I have my headphones on and I am warming up exactly the way I train, which is by myself with my headphones on. So if I'm talking to someone else while I'm warming up, I'm not going to have an efficient warm up, and I'm trying to hit a PR today. So that's a little different. Now, look, if someone comes, if they have a question, you see me, I'll always take my headphones off and sit there and talk to someone for way longer than I should.
Yes.
But so, like, you know, there's always a line, but that's what I mean, is I'm not like intentionally setting myself apart because I think I'm better than everyone else. It's just, this is what I do to prepare for this situation.
Yeah.
And I'm still here if you have questions. Yeah, just let me know. So, at bodybuilding, have that really relaxed mentality, guys. Just go in there to have a good time. Go in there to get some feedback. Go in there to see how your body responds in these different situations with different carbohydrates applied to them after you've been depleted for 16 weeks. You know, like, just try some shit and have a good time, and you're going to do much better.
Which, that's another thing too, is people start over researching things. So that's kind of a little bit of a segue here, but people will start like listening to tons of podcasts. They'll be all over YouTube, and then they start making suggestions or trying things in peak week that they're coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a time to try in a mock peak week or another, a diet break or in a dieting phase, like something else where there's not like, we don't want to do a lot of like crazy things on peak week. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be.
Yeah. But that's why it's good to have a coach, right? Because we do want you guys researching. We want everyone to be evolving as an individual, and we want you to evolve your knowledge base. But the reason you have a coach is, yes, for accountability, but also for like to pull the reins sometimes. Yeah. You know, like, no, you don't need to do that. I promise this will be better.
Right, because some things might be applicable. Like, actually, you should pack that because that's a good thing to have on hand. But then there's other things that are just too wild.
Yeah.
People do some crazy things. So.
Yeah, so pros and cons there.
Keep it simple. Sure. Keep it simple. The best coaches and the best athletes that I know, they keep things simple.
Yeah.
And they are just methodical, and they check regularly, and they produce an amazing result.
Yeah. They have mastered the basics, and they have a complete mental confidence in their mastery of the basics. And because they know that they master the basics, they're not stressing out about whether or not they're doing stuff correctly.
Exactly.
And the basics are, you know, getting to the gym. We're just going to say that, and we'll leave it there. Getting your sleep, getting your proper macronutrients without a bunch of junk food, drinking your water. And I would almost like add the meditation in there, right? Because that builds that focus muscle. Like we were saying earlier, it's like, you have to practice focusing if you want to be good at it. And this world is so like instantly changing, you know, like so scrolling on social media, your brain is looking at something different every 2 seconds. That's not focus. That is like literally breaking down your long-term focus.
That's very true. That's a very good point.
Yeah. So like practicing that, spending some time. I go to the gym and at least 45 minutes when I get there, I spend on the turf and I have a ball on my back, or I'm doing mobility stuff, or I'm doing stretches, or I'm doing dead bugs, but I'm breathing, and I'm bringing my like mental focus in tune with my body, because that's what I'm there for. And when you're focused on doing that, you're not worrying or wondering about other things. You're just focused on what you're about to be doing. That's it. And when you can have that present state of mind, I think that is also very powerful in alleviating stress. Be present.
And it takes practice. If you're like frustrated and you're like, man, I just cannot focus, or I cannot get my brain to like slow down, or I am struggling with negative thoughts, like just remember that it's like anything else, you have to just practice. And sometimes being in the situation of forcing yourself to have to focus on that allows you to put in those reps to develop that skill set. And it is hard for everyone. I still struggle with it. It takes a lot. I know personally, sometimes journaling helps if I feel that my brain is just kind of like, it's in a million places at once. A lot of times I wake up and my mind will just be racing. And I just have to journal. I have to write it down. I have to get it out of my head so that I can place it somewhere and then move on. And then throughout the day, I'll just practice. Like if I have something negative that pops up into my brain, I'm so worried about this. I don't know if blah, blah, blah. I have to tell myself something positive back. I have to be the proactive portion of this. Sometimes, you know, it's good to have a partner where you can say like, I'm really struggling. Can you shift my perspective here? Like, this is how I'm seeing this. How can I look at it differently? Or call a friend, or sometimes I'll call my mom. I'll be like, Mom, it's me again. But I can't always rely on another person to course correct me every single time, because that person might not be backstage with you. That person might not be in traffic with you. That person might not be with you in that moment. And so we also have to develop that skill set to change our negative perspective into something positive, because it helps us zero amount to maintain a negative thought or perspective.
Yeah. And a couple of points. I want to talk about the mindful athlete. I want to talk about the top 25 athletes in the world of mentality. So I'm just going to say those two things.
I'll write it down.
Just because you were saying the negative thought process turned into a positive thought process. I was watching this lecture and this guy was talking about how the difference, there's, you know, the top 25 athletes in the world in any given field, the difference between the top five in that field and the rest of those top 25 is the mentality. And after anything that happens in their sport, those top five, they have a positive reaction to it. No matter what happens, they could have just missed that hurdle, but they're going back, and that almost excites them because now they found a new opportunity for improvement. And when that's your mentality, when you see a failure as something that's exciting to you, you're impenetrable. You are unbeatable. And like, it's just, that's it. You're unbeatable because you will not stop. And every quote unquote negative thing that could happen to you is seen as something positive. I just wanted to make that point about, again, that positive mentality, seeing things in a positive light, seeing like you just got that hunger pain in your gut. Good. That means that my body is going to my fat stores. That means that this diet is working. Good. I'm glad that I'm hungry. right? Versus getting hungry and, oh no, like how much longer until my next meal? Oh my God, now we're stressed out. So yeah, developing that positive mentality is very, very difficult. And I think that practicing like the focus and mindfulness is very important, and it's a valuable tool to do that. And to your point about like sometimes not being able to control your thoughts, we read that book, The Mindful Athlete, and one of the ways that he describes, I guess, meditating is just focusing on your breathing. And he says that you're a human being, you have a brain, and it's made to think about things. So instead of berating yourself for having a brain that has things that it wants to think about, allow it to go down that thought process for a little bit, and then bring your attention back to your breathing. Bring your attention back to your diaphragm. Focus on your breathing for a while. Okay, now you've sufficiently focused on your breathing for 5 breaths. Now let's bring it out. Let's see how your shoulders feel. Are you carrying tension in your traps? Oh yeah, that reminds me, man. Like when my neck bothers me and I'm working out, blah, blah, blah. Okay, now you just went off on a thought tangent. Allow yourself to go off on that thought tangent. You're not berating yourself for it. And then corral yourself back. And now we're going to come back and bring our focus back to our diaphragm and back to our breathing. And going through that motion time and time again, it becomes much longer in between the times of from when you have to bring yourself back to your next drift. Those periods get longer and longer, and the time you spend focusing on your breathing gets longer and longer, and your focus gets stronger and stronger. And all of a sudden, you don't have to stop yourself from thinking about other things, because when you're focusing on your breathing, that's what you're focusing on. So practice these things, right? It's integral. It's integral. If you want to be an elite level athlete, you have to practice the silly little things that other people do not think are important. But these things are fucking important. Like knowing how to use your diaphragm. If you don't know how to use your diaphragm, you're not going to brace properly. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You will never achieve your true ultimate strength potential if you do not know how to use your diaphragm. And chances are you're going to have chronic low back pain. I also think that you're not going to be able to present yourself properly on stage if you're not using your diaphragm properly, because it causes a whole bunch of issues in the posture, but that's a topic for another.
But your brain, be focused. Practice.
Yeah, focus.
That's what you're saying.
Come back. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just that practice. And I've talked about this in the past couple of podcasts of like how I've had to kind of catch myself looking around, because we work out at a really busy gym now, and now you're like wondering like who is this person walking up to talk to me or blah blah blah. I've had to really rein myself back in, and it has gotten much easier. I notice I don't get distracted like at all anymore. But you really have to maintain your focus on your why, right? And because when I was just going, I was just kind of working out. I wasn't training. I was just working out, going through the motions, doing what I thought I had to do. But I was not really paying attention to what I was supposed to be paying attention to, which was my body and what my body was doing when it was going through these motions.
So I think the more that you develop strength with your mind and being able to concentrate and to be able to focus, the less you'll be swayed by stimulation, because we can control what we allow in our lives to a certain extent and, you know, limit excess stimulation. But there comes a point where we can't. Like, you can't.
There's one thing in this life that you can control.
Wait, no, I'm not done.
Okay, go ahead.
If you're backstage and there's a bunch of people back there and you're crowded and you're overwhelmed, this has been me. Like, I can't ask everyone to leave. And I can't necessarily go stand somewhere else because I have to wait to be called. So in that aspect, I think, like, having that skill set would be beneficial. Not just in like peak week and everyday life, but also in that like a specific instance where you might feel more anxious and uncomfortable.
Yeah, because in life you can only control one thing.
What is that?
Your reaction.
Not me. No, just kidding.
Yeah. So I mean, and that's like the extreme ownership thing, right? Is
yeah,
you can't control what anyone else is going to do. You can't make this person be someone who they are not. All that we can do is analyze and accept objective reality as it is, and then decide how we want to react to that objective reality going forward. And when you understand that that's the only thing you have control over, but you do have complete control over it, right? When people say that person pissed me off, they didn't piss you off. They might have done something that you allowed to irritate you, right? But that other people do not have the power to do anything to you. They cannot elicit emotions in you unless you allow it to happen. And I know some people might argue with me, like the person sitting across the table from me right now.
But. Well, I'm being exposed for how much less control I have over my...
Well, it's just because it's practice, right? Like it's practice.
It's hard. It's very challenging.
Yeah. And we've had this conversation in the past too, but like girls are allowed to have emotions, guys are not, right? So like you learn very quickly, especially when you work with my dad, that, you know, reality is all that matters.
Yeah. Well, I think there's that is a strength in some aspects, to be able to be objective, to be able like partition emotion and look at it through a specific lens, because sometimes we can get flooded with our own thoughts and our own emotions. And then we can't see the forest through the trees because we're just like in it. And then that breeds other like realities of like, well, now I am being attacked, or I'm too weak, or what, and it can develop cascades into a bigger problem. So being able to, I mean, we're human beings, we're created with emotion, but being able to differentiate sometimes like that emotional response versus an objective perspective, I think is helpful.
Yeah.
It's more challenging when you're depleted and you're tired and you're hungry. That's like the real test of like what you can and can't control. And even the top have trouble with it.
Yeah.
So, but I would like to think of it as an opportunity to be able to practice that.
Well, it's like lifting heavy weight in the gym. Right. Yes, it's hard, but it's going to make you better. Right. And every time that you feel the urge to snap at someone, but you don't, that gets stronger. Right. And every time that you allow yourself to snap at someone because, well, I'm tired and depleted, so I'm allowed to, that gets stronger.
Okay. So you're practicing behavior.
Yes, exactly. So make sure that you are very intentional with the behaviors that you're practicing. Now, all this talk about emotions and schooling them, being under control of your reactions, that's all that to say that on peak week, you're depleted. You're going to have emotions.
Yeah.
You're going to experience feels. Okay. You will. And whether it's, you know, happy or something because you just made a reel of your prep and it makes you tear up and you're like, why am I crying? You know, or because your partner is breathing loudly or they're crunching on some potato chips and you're like, why does your head echo so much? Like these things they happen, but there are hurdles in our life, just like they're just another heavy dumbbell that you got to pick up. And every time that you choose to make it difficult and to do the right thing, that muscle gets stronger. Okay. So just because if you feel like you're losing, if you feel like you're failing, if you feel like this prep is the hardest one you've ever been to, you're not alone. Those feelings are natural. And remember to speak to yourself kindly and remind yourself of the champion that you are. And look, if you're not a champion, then I guess you can't remind yourself, but you all are, right? It's all what you decide. Henry Ford said it. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And it's fucking true. If you want to be a champion, tell yourself, I am strong enough for this. And I guarantee you will be. If you don't care about being a champion, complain about it and say, man, this is too hard. And I guarantee you're right. So, yeah, you're all capable. Sometimes you have to remind yourself of that fact. But we're all capable. And there's a lot of good people out there that want to help support you through that journey. There's a lot of people that will never understand your journey. Do not try to lean on them. They're going to tell you that you're crazy. They're going to say you need to eat something. Then you say you need to put some weight on. These people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Find yourself your pack. Find the crew that you want to do this stuff with and that will be able to give you that support when you need to vent about something. And you're going to be successful.
I agree.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. End rant.
No, I think that's great. And I think that really covers a lot of what we want to talk about mentality, like the personal responsibility of like trying your very best to like practice good mental thoughts. And then also like your support system, because it is going to be hard and you're going to need a little bit of help. And I think like also when it comes to like thinking positive thoughts, like an easy way to kind of put that into action is to think about what you're grateful for. It could always be worse, okay? It always could be worse. So when I was dieting and I was really hungry, I would think, man, there are homeless people that are more hungry than me. And so I would be thankful for like the little bit of food that I had, because I was trying to put it into a different perspective that would not make me compare it to maybe my partner who's enjoying ice cream in the closet because he's scared to come out and eat it in front of me. You know what I'm saying? Like it's about like kind of putting things into perspective. Yeah, it's hard. It is hard, but it could be harder and it could be worse. So like be grateful for what little that you have. Be grateful that your body is doing this. Mm-hmm.
That you're capable of doing this.
There's people whose bodies, they can't even move. Be grateful that you have the finances to be able to fund going to a competition. Some people don't have that. Some people work 12 jobs. Okay, not 12 jobs, but they work continually and they could never fit this into their lifestyle. Yeah. So like, just be grateful that you are able to put your body in this position to challenge it. It's teaching you something. Mm-hmm. No matter your placement, it's teaching you something. And be grateful that this opportunity is something that you can say yes to.
Yeah. You get to do this. You have to do this. I don't have to go to the gym today. I get to go to the gym today.
Yeah. So yeah, just practice gratitude. I think that's...
Yeah, I think that wraps it up.
Yeah. So, okay.
Remember, you've done the work. Now let it show.
Good. That's a great note right there. We got that. Yes. All right. So, and remember the plane landing thing. I think that's a great example.
Mm-hmm. Just stay steady.
Peak week is we're landing the plane. Yep. Don't do anything crazy. Just stay with us.
Yeah, even if there's a little bit of turbulence, and you can guarantee that there will be, whether it's when you first start coming down or whether it's when you first touch the pavement, there will be some turbulence, okay? But it will even out.
It will be okay.
Yeah.
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 So if you enjoyed this podcast, we really appreciate you listening. We're always very appreciative of our listeners tuning into us. And if you are you're wanting to support us, you can feel free to write us a rating or review. We are on Apple. We're also on Spotify and we are on YouTube. So any of those avenues, if you get all three, you are a rock star. But just leave us a little comment, leave us a rating. It helps us be able to reach other people and share content that we feel is valuable. So if you found it valuable, that's your way of paying it forward. We also have coaching available on our website through Reckless Training. So there's an inquiry there. You can see all of our content. And if you want to ask us specific questions, you can reach us through reckless_training on Instagram. And then our personal handles are on the profile as well. So you can either look in the show notes or contact us through there if you have something specific or a topic that you want to hear. We also do have a donations tab on our website. If you are interested in donating financially, all of the proceeds that come through donations, we put directly into the podcast, whether that's editing or we bought new microphones. So anything that you share with us, we make sure that we do not go on vacation. We put it back into content that's going to help support athletes, because that's where our passion really is. So,
yeah, we also had an apparel drop recently.
Mm-hmm.
So we had few new designs added, so you can go to the merchandise page on recklesstraining.com, take a look at those. And if you are listening to this podcast, reach out to us and I will give you 3 t-shirts for $75. Normally they're $30 to $35 each. I did an okay that with Chris and she's giving me the evil eye right now, but there we are.
All right, so with that,
work hard, stay humble, and train reckless.